episode 101 of Magic the Amateuring.
Whoa. We passed a milestone last week, you guys.
Did you see it back there? There was the milestone.
If I turn around, I can still just barely see it in the distance.
I don't like to see you go, but I love to watch you turn around and look at milestones, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. You're saying you like to look at my butt.
That's true.
Oh, okay.
Let's not hide it.
So that's a really long-winded
Look, Megan,
way to compliment someone.
We've passed 100 episodes. We're
You're
done
right.
with the niceties.
You're right. Let's just
We're at the nice shoes want to fuck part of this pickup. What?
What? Wait, did you just say nice shoes want to fuck?
Have you ever heard that?
No.
That is a pickup line.
What?
Yep.
Since when?
Not a good one. Probably the 90s.
What? Who says that?
Douchebags.
Who does it work on?
Nobody.
Okay.
I hope. Unknown.
Maybe
if
you're
worked.
Maybe every once in a while you're in the mood.
Anyway, you guys, we did our 100th episode last episode. What a milestone. It was a musical episode, so if you didn't, by some weird freak of nature, listen to it, go back and listen to it, because I think it may be the most epic thing that will ever hit your eardrums.
That's right. It certainly is. Certainly is one of the most epic things.
Oh my God, Megan's been replaced by Jimmy Stewart. Mary! Anyway.
to ever happen to a magic podcast.
Yes.
So we won't ruin the surprise, but go listen if you haven't.
Go listen to it. And thank you to everybody on Twitter who shouted us out and said happy 100th episode. Mm-hmm. It was really nice to see, and I'm glad so many people enjoyed the episode. Seemingly, some of you may have wanted to slit your wrists upon hearing it, but we didn't get those tweets. We only got
no,
the good tweets.
No, we really
so.
Didn't. Well, because the people who killed themselves were dead.
They should have tweeted before they died.
Oh, okay, you're right.
So we could have known why they were so mad.
You're right.
Oh, anyway, you guys, we've got a great episode for you today. We're going to talk about GP Baltimore, where Megan just was kicking it, old school style, playing some sealed. We're going to have some Dear Abby letters from listeners. And we also have 5 top tips for anybody who's going to a Grand Prix.
I was just reading
what?
A listener email.
Okay.
And they said something that we were terrible for not doing.
What?
He said, or she said, I can't tell, that we should have sang Len's Don't Steal My Sunshine as the 100th episode outro.
I know, but we had that outro music like written specifically for
us. Oh, that's true. Okay, maybe we'll have to make up for it today.
Okay. Maybe that means you're going to have to listen to the end. If you skip ahead, it won't work.
It won't. The player will know. We have programmed a player that knows if you skipped a middle chunk of our episode and will not allow you to hear us singing Len's Don't Steal My Sunshine.
I also want to thank everybody who's pledged to us on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/mtacast or just our website, magicTheAmateuring.com, and give us $1 an episode and we'll give you a sweet reward, which, by the way, should be coming your way very soon.
I was going to say, you were like, give us $1 an episode, and I was like, and we'll give you a laugh an episode.
One laugh.
Just one. If you have laughed once, please turn this off. Again, we've programmed a player which will know that you have laughed
right.
once.
If you pledge $5, you're allowed 5 laughs an episode.
There you go. Dollar amount equals number of laughs you're allowed to have.
And you can't stuff it down.
Nope.
Because
Wait, what?
You can't stuff a laugh down.
You can't.
Because it turns into a fart.
Did you know that's where farts come
nope.
from?
Nope.
I did
yes.
not know.
Yeah. Every fart is
that
a laugh
a
you stuff down.
I just can't get over you using the phrase stuff down.
What would you say? Stifle?
Stifle. Oh. Like any normal person.
I think of a laugh as like a little fluff of a thing that you have to
You're
stuff.
Stuffing
like
it down.
Like you stuff a teddy bear full of stuffing. Like that.
Where are we? The laugh factor.
Oh, anyway, let's talk about magic cards. What do you say?
Sure, but I was just going to say that makes sense. That's why beans are associated with making people fart, because beans make people laugh, but they realize it's inappropriate.
Why do beans people make people laugh?
Because they're funny.
Why are they funny?
Because they're funny. They tell good jokes.
Beans?
Beans.
Tell me one joke a bean has told you.
Okay. What do you call a deer with no eyes?
An abomination.
You're correct.
Great joke, Bean.
No idea.
Oh.
What do you call a cow with three legs?
Tripod.
You're correct.
Oh, really?
No, it's a lean beef. What do you call a cow with no legs?
Ground beef.
Yes, got there. Yes.
What do you call a deer with no eyes and no legs?
My date last Friday.
We're gonna bring magic content to you any minute now, you guys. Hold in there.
These jokes are just too good.
Still no idea.
Okay. Megan has turned into a dad. We are now hearing dad jokes.
Or blind ground.
No. No more. You're cut off. That's it.
For some reason, I can't say the phrase.
Megan, I have never... I have literally never seen you laugh so hard on this show as you are right now.
You know the phrase that I'm trying to say, right?
And no, I don't. I don't know your stupid dad joke you're trying to tell me.
It's not a dad joke. I'm just trying to say... I'm going to write it down.
There's a gas leak in this house. There's definitely
I'm
going
to write it
leak.
Down and you have to say it. Okay,
write it down.
So everyone knows that I'm laughing so hard.
Here's
about.
Here's a pen. Oh, Jesus. Listeners, I apologize for the lack of magic content. Up to the point in this show, we're going to pack it all in there so hard, it's going to be like a can of Spam in the rest of this episode.
See? Megan, it's funny. Megan, you can't say it.
Megan can't say ground deer. That's what it is. Oh, my God. Okay, this episode 101, everybody. Never before has Megan gone to... It's such a head laugh. Mark it in your historic MTA notebooks. This was a day that she'll go down in infamy. When Megan did not stuff her laugh back in and couldn't fart for a year.
For the noobs.
Five top tips.
So just this past weekend, I was at Grand Prix Baltimore, where I played magic.
What?
That's, Maria, that's what I went to Baltimore to do.
I thought you were going there to do an important assassination.
Nope. I was not there to murder someone.
All right, my bad.
It's okay, I understand. There are two easy things to confuse, magic and assassinations.
Yeah, with cards like Bear Punch out there. Ooh, yeah, you exactly. Have a
foil bear punch
sitting right here. That is pretty.
Thank you. You can have it.
Frame that shit.
So I wanted to put together for the noobs five top tips that I've came to the realization of. What?
Great sentence. Don't
Thank
end with
you.
A preposition.
Oh boy. I'm still part of me inside is still laughing about ground deer.
No. I know. Okay. I just looked at it at the paper again.
I know, right?
And I
it's like
it
written
funny.
There staring at me. anyways, so just five tips that I was like, do you know what? These are things that sometimes we forget, even though we've said them before. Sometimes it's lessons that are hard to learn.
Sure.
So here we are with my five top tips.
Should we do it like David Letterman?
Sure.
I think he has a drum roll.
Okay.
But I only have one hand, so ready? Yeah.
That's the actual saddest drum roll ever. The first is shut the F up while you're registering your pool.
Yay!
People still do this. They're at a Grand Prix. They're at a Grand Prix, and I'm like, how do you not know? One, it's not allowed. One, you're not supposed to be talking. Two, no one wants your opinion on how sick or lack of sick the pool is.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're probably, who knows what you're looking at? If you're one of those, if you're talking, I automatically think less of people who are talking like that during deck registration, because I'm like, what are you looking at? Are you looking at fixing? Are you looking at removal? Are you looking at like creature curve? What are you looking at? Usually they're just looking at bombs.
Right.
Like they're like, oh, this is no good rares. And it's like, well, it still might have a sick curve and an incremental growth. And it's like, that's good enough to kill a lot of people.
And, I mean, you need to keep in mind that you need to be courteous to the people sitting around you. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be people who are trying to alphabetize that might be dyslexic.
Yeah.
Or otherwise that are trying to get their shit together and you're being a jerk.
Exactly. So, you know, chill it out. Get real quiet.
And guess what? You'll be done faster, and you'll probably still have time to go to the bathroom.
Exactly, which is always...
That's a bonus.
Which is always a bonus, which is always a fun time. Bathrooms.
Ground deer.
Ground deer. Second tip. This is something that I think I realize that I kind of maybe fall into a pitfall of now. Is if you don't have a strong pool, don't be afraid to get a little experimental or get a little crazy with your colors.
Right. Just like you did in college.
Exactly. Oh, everyone experiments with their colors a little bit.
I was five color in college, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. You went full Wooberg in college.
Yeah, full Wooberg.
Yeah. So I realized, like, my Super Sunday series, I did have, like, a pretty miserable pool. There was not a lot of power in it. My best rare by far was Abzan Ascendancy. And I had pretty mediocre fixing. I had, like, two pieces of fixing for black, white, green. And so I ended up going with, like, base black, white, splashing Abzan Ascendancy and one other black, white, green card, which was also good. But I don't remember. No, it wasn't a guide. Crap, I don't remember what it was. Anyways, the point is that it's, like, I looked at it and I was like, maybe I'll get people with consistency. Like, if people mess up with their mana, like, I'll be able to get them with this. But the fact is that it's, like, there's powerful enough cards in the set that you either, like, my deck wasn't hyper-aggressive, so it wasn't punishing them super hard. And once we got into the middle to late game, like, they were just playing better cards than I was.
Yeah, that's the problem, I think, with this set, is that you can't just think my deck can be mediocre and win.
No, it really cannot.
Which I think is a little different than some other sets.
Yeah, absolutely. There have, I feel like in Journey, you could just be very consistent.
Yes.
And you could beat people.
And in Gatecrash, you could be very quick and you could beat people.
Yeah, exactly. Which I feel like is the case with this set.
Yes, you can.
But it's like you have to be really,
really
quick.
Really fast.
You really need to get out of the gates quickly. And you probably should
especially
have, like,
sealed.
You know, like some anthem effects going on, like, or like the plus three, plus two, plus one.
I'm just having that realization now that you say that.
Yeah.
That is the way of the world. Like, it has to be something that just is super synergistic and works.
Yeah.
It has to be super fast and stupid.
Exactly.
Or it has to be,
like, super powerful.
And very powerful.
Yeah. And I, like, at the end of the day, like, I looked at it and it's like, I could have been splashing red for basically free because I had, like, three red-white duels.
Sure.
But at the same time, like, I had gotten scared away from doing that. I was like, oh, like, my cards aren't powerful, so I should be super consistent. It's like, well, no, I actually would have, like, they still weren't crazy powerful cards, but I would have widened the power of my cards more if I had allowed myself to
splash
things.
And that's a different mindset than draft, where draft is a faster format, and you might get a little edge by playing it more consistent, consistently than you would in sealed.
Exactly, but I think in sealed it was definitely like, do you know what? I needed to take a risk, and I shied away from taking, and I was definitely punished for that.
Well, I've been at the opposite end of that spectrum and taken a risk when I should have played more conservatively with my color. So there's two sides to that coin.
Yes. Counterintuitively to that second point, the third one is, don't be afraid to be consistent if you have power.
Right. Even I've been tempted by the power, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, the shining, glowing orb.
Bring it here.
Of a bomb rare. And what I could have done is gone with a very, very solid black-green base deck. Okay, consistent, whatever. But I was like, oh, flying crane technique.
Yeah.
Shiny. I'm like a raccoon. I'm a magic raccoon.
Yeah, you have little hands that you can pick things up with and run away with them with.
Yeah.
And you raid people's trash cans at night, which
I've
been meaning
to talk
to you about.
Why? It's called dumpster diving. It's a thing.
Maria, it's illegal for one. Two, you have a job with a salary.
It's illegal?
Yeah. Dumpster diving?
It is?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I can't tell you the exact details behind it, but it definitely is illegal.
Oh, okay.
Something about it, some bullshit about it still being people's property or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess technically it is.
Yeah.
If it's in your trash, I mean.
I don't
know. Until they take it away.
Exactly.
It's probably still mine.
Yeah.
My trash comes tomorrow.
Well, remember to put it out,
Maria.
Gotta
put it out.
So anyways, I did feel like on day one, I was rewarded to some extent for really cutting. Again, I only had two pieces of fixing in the colors I was going to play. It was like, but just by far, I was also absent in that one. By far, my most powerful cards and like where I had the most creatures. But I only had two pieces of fixing. So in that one, I really cut down hard. I think on black. I want to say on black. I cut a lot of black cards. And I definitely felt like there were times when it was like, I got rewarded for doing that. And I didn't get stuck on mana. So it was pretty sweet.
So make sure your deck is really strongly consistent.
Yes.
Not just...
It needs
weak,
to be both
mediocre
like,
and consistent.
If you're going for consistency, you do also have to have power.
Yes.
Like, consistency is not enough. You cannot ride that wave to victory in a lot of circumstances.
And that is a sad lesson that Cons has taught me.
Yeah.
When are we getting this next set?
January.
I mean, I like it, but oh, really?
Yeah.
Already.
I know. It's crazy to think about, isn't it?
When in January?
Like the third weekend.
My God.
Yeah, man.
I'm so ready. I mean, Cons is cool, but I think I had my moment, and my moment has passed.
You had your moment?
Do you know like the life cycle of a set where you will be on top,
yeah,
winning a lot, and then you have a little dip, and then,
yeah,
you're winning a lot again, and then you dip. And right now I'm in major
con dip. Gotcha.
So I don't know what happened, but.
Maria,
guys,
I'm having a party next weekend. Can you bring that condom?
Yeah. What?
It's really popular.
What flavor do you want? Do you want Jeskai?
Yeah, Jeskai condom is great.
I already made some Temur in the fridge. So.
Oh, that's great. We
is that okay?
Temur condom is also really good.
Okay, good. I'm bringing
that. Excellent. Well, thank you so much. The
tip three.
You know your flipping morphs.
What do you mean?
I was, let's see.
Did you flip up the wrong thing thinking it was another thing?
Oh, I did do that.
I definitely did that. And
I flipped up a
spell snatcher when I shouldn't. I mean, I blocked with it and I thought it was something else.
Oh.
It's okay. I still won.
Well, congratulations. But that's super awkward.
No, it's super.
That's super awkward. No, one, don't do that. But that, I was thinking, know the morphs in the set, because I definitely, there was only one time that I got blown out, and it was when I...
It's always a woolly loxodon, to quote
Owen
Turnbull.
No, in this case, that's true. It's always a flipping fucking woolly loxodon. God damn it. No, in this case, it was a, Karu spell snatcher.
Okay.
And I was like...
You don't really expect that.
Exactly.
Fucker. Just like you don't expect thousand wins.
Well, the thing is, like, he had been neglecting to flip it when it would have, like... He had been attacking with it and had kept not flipping it, because I just kept declining to block, because I think I was ahead in the race at that point.
Sure.
Or something like that. So in my mind, I had discredited it as something like irrelevant, but he kept leaving up mana. So like if my dumbass had stopped and thought for a minute,
why
I might have come to
that?
The conclusion of Karo's spell snatcher, because otherwise, it's, you know, what are the things that he wouldn't be flipping up? It would be like a Ruthless Ripper. But in that case, why isn't he leaving it back to block? It would be a Sidisi's Pet. Again, why is he not leaving it back to block? It would be like maybe a Sagu Archer, which maybe he's just going for surprise. But again, like that's a good blocker. You know, there's just, or it's like a Monastery Flock. And it's like, I think... If I had stopped and thought through all of the possibilities, I would have arrived at the idea
the
of like, oh, it's probably Karo fucking spell snatcher under there. So I hard cast a woolly loxodon into it. And it's like if I had just stopped and thought and like cast my morph face down, there's a chance that he doesn't Karo spell snatch, because you don't want to get a shit morph.
Right. Right.
You know, maybe he still does. Maybe it doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, it's like I could have more effectively played that turn if I had just played my morph face down, playing around the potential that it's a Karo spell snatcher.
You know, Magic is a lot like poker in that you need to read your opponent. It's not about always just like, what is my best tactical decision using my mana this way, doing the math or whatever. But there is an element of considering why is my opponent playing in the manner that they are, especially when you've gotten to a kind of higher level at a GP or you're a few rounds in and you've been winning. They're probably playing that way because they know what they're doing, at least a little bit. And why would they play in that manner?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. S. Ground deer.
Tip four.
That was tip four.
Oh.
Because we had one, which was don't talk.
Yeah.
Two, which was consistency does not make up for power.
Three,
which was consistency, but still consistency.
Oh, I get it.
If you can have power.
Sure.
Like, it's do it if you can do it. Four was the one that we just said.
Okay, tip five.
Well, no, your morphs. And tip five, oh my God, it was just in my head and it just left my head.
Where'd it go?
I don't know.
Is it hanging out with that ground deer?
Probably. Give me a second. Oh my God.
What was it, a good one, or was it a bad one? Oh, okay.
It was a good one.
Here's Maria's tip five.
Yeah, go for it.
Bring your trade binder with you if you are a drafter, specifically, or only play limited, like moi. That's French for me. And sell off every single last one of your cards to a vendor, maybe, on site. If you're not interested in keeping them around or trying to have their value appreciate over time, you can sell. They'll buy almost every single last one of your cards. Like, they'll buy some rares for 10 cents each, you know, uncommons for 3 cents or whatever the heck it is. I don't even remember. But I made a good deal of money at a GP that way, whereas some hometown stores won't necessarily buy your uncommons and all of your junk rares off of you, because they're not interested in reselling them. So there you go.
Oh my God, I still cannot think of
it. Well, there's your four top tips.
Well, yeah.
Huh. Now you seem so sad.
It was a good one. Now I can't remember it.
Oh boy.
God damn it. Oh boy. Well.
Bring a Sharpie to have your favorite pros sign your cards.
Mm-hmm. I guess, or my fifth one could be, like, if you're the one who's taking the time to do the math, that will benefit you immensely. I both saw and was a part of some super clogged board states this weekend, and I think people get sloppy with their math.
They do. I'm raising my hand in my right now.
Friend of the show, Matthias Hunt, has often mentioned that he feels like one of his advantages in this set is that he is a very skilled mental mathematician. And he, like, when I've drafted with him before, I have seen him win games off of simply just doing the best math.
Right.
Like, between him and his opponent.
How many turns each of them have currently.
Exactly. Like, he can put together a combination of, like, correct attacks that equal lethal before his opponent is able to put together, like, what that possible sequence is. So I guess I feel like a lot of these have been super obvious, but at the same time, like, at least when I get to big events, that's like my brain sometimes just goes out the flipping window.
Yeah, that's very true.
It is just sort of like there's so much going on and it's super loud and, you know, there's like tons of people and you're always in the sub-basement of the building and there's like fluorescent lights on everywhere.
No windows. And, you're eating cheese curds and
other crap.
Other cheeseburgers.
Exactly. Chicken fingers, if you're
Maria. Oh, yeah. Chicken fingers and fries. My GP staple.
Yeah. So they're basic, but it's also, they're really important things to remember.
Yeah, man. If you've got a top tip, tweet it at us at MTAcast. We'd love to have your tweets.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost at 1,000 followers, so we're getting real excited for that number to hit 1,000. Will it be you? Will it be your friend? Will it be your dog who you've taught to use Twitter and has somehow managed to get opposable thumbs, like some kind of weird freak dog? Have him use those thumbs for good. To help humanity, you know, don't let them go to evil.
Remember, never let your freak dogs choose the side of evil.
Look, I'm sorry I called him a freak.
No, I'm summing up what you said.
Megan, do you know that
freak
one
dogs.
Bird who can make the sound of anything in the world? The lyrebird.
What?
L-Y-R-E. Lyrebird.
Yeah, like the musical instrument?
Yeah, sure.
It's not just a mockingbird?
It is a special bird. I think it's in Australia. Oh. And it can make the sound of anything.
Okay.
It builds a little mound and it stands on the mound and it sings. And it can mimic the sound of a chainsaw, the sound of footsteps, the sound of a camera, anything. And it sounds exactly like it.
That's super weird.
The reason I mention that is because
I'm really curious.
I call that bird the freak bird because, like, I watch the videos and it's so freaky.
Yeah.
That you lose your mind. Everybody who has not seen this bird, YouTube this bird.
Okay.
And there are less, like, David Attenborough clips of this bird. You are going to lose your brain It sounds like not real.
I believe you. Anyway, Maria, I believe you.
Sidetracked, you guys. I like to give listeners a little bit of, you know, insight.
Yeah, some into info.
The world besides magic.
Some intel, as it were.
Yeah, use that when you're chatting when you're both shuffling. You can talk to your opponent about the liar bird.
Tell your opponent about the liar bird between playing Yahtzee. Yeah. Where you're getting deck checked.
GP Baltimore story time.
Hey guys, it's me again.
Oh, it was Megan.
I was at GP Baltimore last weekend.
Oh, as previously discussed.
I was playing Magic.
Yes.
Not assassinating anybody.
Okay, sure, whatever you say.
Just want to be clear about that. Mm-hmm. I was super busy with Magic. No time. No time for it.
Solid alibi.
Yep, thank you. So, anyways, I was at the library. You can ask this girl. She saw me there.
That's a serial joke.
It totally is. I wanted to give a shout out to Greg, who is there.
Listener Greg,
who is awesome. Signed his sigiled starfish.
Sweet. Scryfish.
Yeah, Scryfish. Exactly. It was a real sad one. I had a real sad face on him.
Why did you draw a sad?
The future is such a heavy burden.
This poor Scryfish.
The poor Scryfish has to know all about it.
It is.
Anyways, he was working the event, so he was super awesome. And Eli, who was also around.
Cool. Exactly. Listener Eli,
who was also super amazing. And then, oh my God, I can't remember the third guy's name. But he will remember who he is because there was a Starbucks in the convention center, but there was also like a cheer convention upstairs, like a kids cheer camp convention of some sort.
Cheerleader kids?
Yeah.
Creepy.
So I know, it was super weird. So the line at Starbucks was always like 30 people. And
with kids?
No, not just kids. It was like their parents.
I was imagining 2-year-olds getting lattes.
Yeah, that too. You start them young. Start them young, man. So there's like 2 people working and 30 people in line. And we would always, like on Sunday, we would both like finish our round in the Super Sunday series and like book it up to Starbucks and get in line and then always have to leave the line before we got to the front so that we could go start the next round.
Sad.
So we both did it multiple times. Both times we were both just like, hey, we're not gonna make it.
You know,
we're not gonna get this coffee.
I've said this before, but I feel an entrepreneurial spirit coming upon me every time I hear these stories from a GP because I want to go and be the booth that sells coffee / energy drinks to people like me.
Yeah.
/ deodorant if you forget it at home.
Oh, apparently there was a bucket of deodorant at the side events table.
Are you kidding?
There's like
me?
A bucket of mini deodorants.
Yeah. No fucking way.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome.
I didn't see it, but Matthias said that it was there, and I believe him.
What else did I want? I wanted something else.
I don't remember what you said. Okay, you said coffee, energy drinks.
Deodorant.
Beef jerky.
Oh, yeah, lockers.
Lockers. There
Where you
go.
Could put your shit, extra shit.
This is such a moneymaker.
That's just what I want. I want to make that booth.
How are we going to store a bunch of lockers?
You like, get one of those banks, those square, you know.
Okay. I mean, we're going to have to rent a trailer for this business.
Okay.
Put the lockers in.
There's some overhead. That's.
But not a ton.
Yeah, not a ton.
Well, we'll see. I don't know if the convention center would let you sell coffee if they have a coffee place inside of it. Anyway, sorry. I don't mean to bring you down. Ground deer.
Ground deer. I feel like that legless deer in the middle of the highway right now. My dreams.
How did the legless deer get in the middle of the highway?
It kind of like shuffled itself.
It shimmies everywhere.
It scoots.
It just like scoots itself. It's like a snake, but it's a deer. This idea just
God.
Got really funny.
Ground deer. There it goes. I don't know why
it's
squeaky.
It's like wiggling itself back and forth as it tries to scoot across.
Really
the
cute. Super cute.
Oh, super cute. It's just a
anyway,
little
hi to all those listeners.
Yeah. And that stupid Starbucks at the convention center.
Look, if you've been to a GP, you know the Starbucks at the convention center story. It's like the line is 25,000 people long.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
it is.
Story time.
Okay, story time. There is a guy who tried to use his wooded foothills, which is the green, red fetch land.
Yes.
To fetch a green black gain land.
Were you like, no?
I was like, you can't do that. And I tried to explain. I was like, see, it says you can fetch a forest or a mountain, And like these planes right here say basic land planes. It has to have like the type.
And he's like, well, it says forest.
And he's like, no, you can fetch something that makes a like that's a forest, and this is green. And I was like, no, you can't. And he's like, do you want to call it? Like, I'll call a judge over.
And you're
I was
like, yes, please,
please do. Like, please do. And the judge comes over and is like, no, you can't. You can't fetch this land. And he puts it back into his deck, doesn't even shuffle, slams it down and is like, well, I guess I just fetched for nothing. Because he didn't have another forest in his deck. He did not have a forest in his deck to use this land to fetch for.
Classic.
Oh, it was in... I was so entertained. And then I had to very, like, he started, like, because he was so tilted at that point. He hadn't even shuffled after, like, searching. He just, like, if the judge comes by, he, like, shoves the land back into his deck and, like, slams it down and, like, starts to take the rest of his turn. And I just, like, slowly, like reach over and point at his deck. And I'm just, like, I'm gonna shuffle that.
Excuse me, like a poor like street urchin, like
exactly. And to be fair to him, he was like, oh yeah, okay. I was like, he wasn't super mad about that. I think he just was like tilted and hadn't thought about it until I was just like,
sometimes the lessons in life we have to most learn are the hardest lessons.
Hey, that. Let me see. Then there is another guy who. So I swing in with a morph and like 6 open mana. And he has a Seeker of the Way. He blocks with the Seeker. And I'm just like, okay. Path priority. And he, Feet of Resistance, his Seeker of the Way.
Okay.
And I just look at him and I go, what color? And he proceeds to think for like a minute and a half.
And he's like, oh, like puts
shit. His head in his hands and stares at my creatures that I have face up. Like stares at all of my creatures that are face up on the board. It's like super hard. And it's just like, oh, God. And eventually it's just like, black? And I flip it up, and it's a woolly lock.
Yeah, you definitely probably say green if you're just.
Oh my not god! Sure. I know, right? Because if it's black, it's like unyielding, or not unyielding. It's
Krumar Bondkin.
Krumar Bondkin, or I'm trying to even think of like if it's Abzan Guide, you get everything. You can name any color. Bondkin, the Seeker will still kill.
Then you've got Ruthless Ripper, who cares? And you've got the monkey, what the 1/4, who cares?
Exactly. So I think
you've got the 3/2, also, who cares?
Which one's the 3/2
that's
in black?
That's where you flip it for a single black and you draw a card when other cards.
Oh, die. Grim Harrow Specs.
Yes.
Right, the point is that all of these, like the Seeker was a 4/4. Like the Seeker would have eaten that creature anyways.
Yep.
So I think the only card was Woolly Loxodon that he should have been afraid of. He should have been very afraid.
I'm always afraid of that card.
Yeah, King of the Morphs, man.
I like to giant err on the side elephant. Of assuming it's a Woolly Loxodon.
Yeah. Let's see. My pool had both End Hostilities and Dune Blast.
Sick.
I played against 4 opposing Dune Blasts. My record at the end of day one was 6-2-1.
That's a very good record.
Thank you. I lost my like out round in round 8. So I was like until the almost the end.
That's awesome.
And like I ended up playing out the day because there was like a marginal chance that 6-2-1 could make it, but no. Anyways, the draw was in round 2 of the day, and the guy also had a Dune Blast, and we both had dead drops. I had End Hostilities. He didn't have that one. And like game 1, I Dune Blast him.
Yeah.
Game 2, he Dune Blasts me. And game 3, like I End Hostilities us both. He Dune Blasts me. I Dune Blast him. He dead drops me. I dead drop
him. Are you kidding?
No. And then we draw because like we've run out of time and no one is doing anything.
How many cards were left in your library?
Like 6. Both of us had like 6 cards left in our libraries.
That's hilarious.
It was absurd. And I think it was a good draw for me. I don't think I was going to win.
What win conditions did you have?
Dune Blast.
Yeah.
I had Dune Blast. It's a pretty good win condition. I had Abzan Falconer and Incremental Growth.
Sure.
Which, Okay. Oh, here's another good story.
Okay.
So this one actually was pretty good. This is another one that my opponent had a Doom Blast. And again, like game one, I Doom Blasted and then I won. And then game two, I Doom Blasted and then he Doom Blasted. It was the first time I had seen it and I was like, oh crap. So I lost that one. And then game three, those first two had gone really long. So we had 7 minutes.
Oh my God.
And I was like, shit, I can't. Like at that point I was,
you don't want
to, I was whatever. Yeah. I was X1-1. So I could not draw. I couldn't even draw another game. So I was like, well, crap. So I just went like turn one, Kintree Warden. This was the fifth tip I had.
Oh.
Which was just because other people think cards are shitty, and maybe they are traditionally shitty, don't miss out on the opportunity to make cards sometimes great. Like, I really loved Kintree Warden in my deck.
And why is that?
Because, honestly, I only had End Hostilities, Doom Blast, and a Kill Shot. And, like, that was my only removal in my whole pool. You know, like, I'm playing white-black, which usually has a lot of the removal of the colors.
You had Dead Drop.
That's true. I had Dead Drop. That is correct. Sorry.
I never play more removal than that. That's probably my problem.
Oh, I like a lot of removal. So I, like, played Kintree Warden because it just, like, it holds the ground so well. And if you incremental growth that fucker, then all of a sudden you have, like, a 4/4 regenerator. And then that becomes, like, incredibly problematic for your opponent.
Yes, he's very good in some matchups, especially matchups when your opponents have big beef out there. Like,
exactly. I would say if you're worried about holding the ground, then Kintree Warden is actually, like, quite a good card. Not a good card, not quite
fine
a good card,
card,
but it's, like, it has a job. Anyways, so I just, like, right, I'm on the play for game three, and I draw seven, like, draw my seven, and I forget, but I had, like, Kintree Warden into Highland Game, into Morph, like, turn one Kintree Warden, turn two Highland Game, turn three Morph, and then, like, we traded something off. I want to say we traded morphs. Turn four morph. Turn five incremental growth. Like, smash my opponent's face and, like, kill him. Kill him for Xaxxes right as the clock hits, like, you know, 10 seconds left in the round.
Oh, man.
So from 7 minutes, in 7 minutes, like, my super grindy Doom Blast deck just went, like, one drop, two drop, three drop, three drop, like, smash your face with...
Oh, that's the kind of curve I dream about.
It was pretty incredible. Like I said, my deck's backup plan was definitely just, like, incremental growth shit.
And I can definitely see that on a t-shirt, like, one drop, two drop, three drop, four drop. That's the kind of curves I dream about. Like, and then there's a picture of a lady, like, playing Magic.
Okay. I think the concept needs refinement.
It needs some work.
Yeah, you're going to need some polishing.
It's just my brainchild I have right now.
It's there. I feel it. let's see. And this is the last one I'll tell. I played against, first of all, he was the guy who also had End Hostilities and Doom Blast in his deck. And
what's with these pools?
It was insane. It was so many Doom Blasts. I've never had so many Doom Blasts in a day. Anyways, this guy... In the middle of game two or three, no, we didn't even play game three, so it must have been in the middle of game two, just starts telling me about how he's on Officer Darren Wilson's side in the Ferguson trials.
Oh my
For
God.
No, like, in no way did I invite this topic to
come up.
He
just brought it up.
No, it was like an older, like kind of like an older guy, and he
Why?
Did, he sounded kind of rural, like he kind of had like a more rural accent as opposed to like a city accent. And I was just like,
it's like Thanksgiving dinner. There are certain things that are a little awkward to talk about at the magic table.
Oh my God. Yes. And this guy was just like, I just didn't know what to say. I just sat there flabbergasted.
That's so weird.
It was super, super weird.
He's a plant. They're planting them now.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Trying to influence the public conspiracy.
Oh my God. It was super bizarre.
So overall, good Baltimore tournament, I would say.
Yeah, man. It was an awesome time.
Somebody we know made it in to the top 16.
That's right. Shout out to our friend Andrew Ellenbogen.
Yeah. Player from Minnesota.
Yeah. He's technically from Michigan, but he goes to Carleton College.
You know, we had some great games. I was watching the streaming coverage on twitch.tv of this GP, and The last few games of the tournament were fantastic.
Oh man, if you ever want to see, if you ever want to see a madman draft, go watch Gerard Fabiano draft that top eight, because he first picks first picks Dig Through Time, and then pack two, there is a Riverwheel Aerialists, which most people would be like, look sweet. At the sweet blue card. He picks a Rakshasa's Secret over it. And he proceeds to win.
He's got a plan.
Yeah. I think Marshall at one point was saying that they determined that he could delve 23 cards. Like, he had many delve spells that he could have delved 23 cards out of his library.
I love that. I mean, because those are the kind of decks that I just don't make. Maybe I'm at that point in cons where we talked about this a few shows ago, going deep. Maybe I gotta try and make that deck.
You need to try and make that deck.
Just need some dig through times.
So go back and watch that if you can, because it's bonkers.
Yeah, it's a crazy good matchup too, because his opponent, David, who is a really young guy, was playing a very straightforward Obzon deck. Yeah. With some sweet stuff like Anafenza in it. But it was very cut and dry, like, this is how you drafted a good Obzon deck, and then his is like completely unconventional.
Yeah.
Sultai. So it's really neat match, and all these matches are archived, so you can go back and watch them.
Anyways. Ground here.
So thanks for the story time, Megan.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for listening.
I'm all ready for bed now. I've got my teddy bear and my nightie on.
Nighties are weird. I'm just gonna say that.
What's weird about this?
I don't know.
The fact that it's short and made of silk.
I'm getting uncomfortable.
Do you want to sip on this champagne I had right in bed?
Do you know what? You go ahead and drink that. You go ahead and drink that bedtime champagne.
Are you telling me you don't have a bedtime champagne every once in a while?
Look, Maria, I'm not made of money like some of us.
Excuse me, I need my bedtime champagne. What? Excuse I don't think me. I want to drink champagne. I don't want to drink a carbonated
beverage.
That sounds
like the worst thing to drink before.
Yeah, it does not.
Before going to bed.
Seem like something I want to do.
No, I would second that. That sounds like barf train to barf town.
Listener emails.
That's right. This week we have an email from listener Alec. He asks, how much experience do you have with Modern, and which kind of deck do you like or would like to try?
We've talked about Modern a few times on this show. Yeah. Fairly recently, have we?
Yeah.
And a couple times, and we go into depth about what Modern is on some of those episodes. So you can look in our archives on magicthematuring.com, or you can just go to iTunes, where all of our episodes are, as well as Stitcher Radio and mtgcast.com, to go back through time and find our episodes on Modern.
This might be something worthwhile for us to spend some time on.
Yes.
More in depth in a future episode, because Maria is going to be going to GP Omaha.
Yes, GP Omaha, which is a Modern GP.
That's right.
Oh boy, you guys, I'm so nervous.
You're going to be awesome. It's going to be super awesome.
I'm freaking out. It's in January. That's next month.
It is next month.
Oh, God.
Don't worry about it.
I'm going to be playing in this GP if I can get a deck together. And it's going to be something entirely new for me, especially since I have not played Constructed ever, except for one or two games that I've play tested against Megan. So it's quite terrifying. And I'm afraid, but there are decks out there that people have told me to play that are not super difficult.
That's right. Boggles is the Modern deck that I have played, which is where you have little hexproof creatures and you stick auras on them.
Yeah, that sounds like your cup of tea.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's very silly. Then there's, I'm itching to try the Jeskai Ascendancy combo in Modern because it looks sick.
I think that's a pretty tricky deck, though.
That's true. That would take, I would say, if you like it, it's worth learning it.
Okay.
That's one of those things where it's like, it's going to take you time to learn, but at the same time, like, I don't know that you should ever be scared away from playing a combo deck if you're willing to put in the time, because that's a lot of it. It's just, like putting in the hours to learn it. And it's super powerful, but it might get banned come the end of January. So you might just want to
get your kicks in now.
Wait and see.
Exactly. You can play Burn, which is one that has been suggested to me.
Yep.
For GP Omaha. Burn. Very, you don't interact much with your opponent, but you'll try and burn their face.
A lot.
Burn their face.
again, Matthias has said that that one's a little more math intensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes you have to sequence, you have to be careful about how you're sequencing your spells.
Yep.
And stuff like that. But it is a tier one deck, which means it is a highly competitive deck capable of winning tournaments in Modern. So, you know, burning people's faces. Party yep. time.
Yeah. And the way you can find decks is to like think about your play style. What kind of decks do you like to play in Standard or Draft or Sealed, however you've played before in the past, and try and find a deck that matches up well with the kind of player you are. So, for instance, my weakness is playing control strategies. I'm not as strong at that as I am in playing more aggressive or tempo or value-based strategies. Value not meaning card draw, meaning creature quality. Yeah. Is more where I call that, like, feel rates. At home. Rates?
Rates. Like Siege Rhino has good rates.
Right. Rates. Yeah. Yeah. So that kind of stuff is easier for me. So I would probably lean some to a strategy that's more like that as opposed to a combo or a control strategy mm-hmm. for me. So yeah, there's a billion and ten decks out there. That's actual, an exaggerated.
Actual
that's an
billion and ten. Actual billion and ten.
And Modern is not as cheap, but usually your decks will stay around longer. So yeah,
that is true.
They'll only need slight tweaking in the future.
Well, for one, you can go look. There was a Modern segment of the recent World Magic Cup Players Championship. I'm trying to think of what that was called.
WMC.
Well, the WMC, the World Magic Cup is technically just like the... it's just like when all the teams from the countries play each other. I'm trying to remember what the other one is called. Those were some really cool deck licks. You can see the most recent and people think the best version of Jeskai Ascendancy combo is on there. And then there was a blue red Delver, which Patrick Chapin played and I think lost no matches.
Wow.
Not a goddamn one. Wow. With this blue red Delver deck. So that's pretty sweet. So you can find that stuff on Daily MTG. Good luck navigating that website because it is sometimes a bitch.
Yeah,
but you can go to events and then they have a coverage archive.
Good luck to you on your search for a deck. I hope you find one. If you do, let us know.
There's also Star City Games. If you go to their events coverage archive, I think they also do a deck list archive for their Modern IQs that are now part of their Sundays, because right now on Sundays they do Legacy and they do Modern IQs.
Okay.
And I think come next year they're going to also be doing Modern, they're going to be doing Modern tournaments sometimes. And SCG has a very well-structured website and they always post deck lists, at least the top 8 and usually through like the top 32 or so. So that's a really good place to go to look for deck lists of all kinds, Legacy, Modern, Standard. Go check it out.
Nice.
Yeah, man. We've had an episode.
We sure have.
We've had a good laugh about ground deer.
Ground deer.
You guys, oh boy, that was, I don't know the last time I laughed that hard at something.
I don't know either.
I think part of it was I flew back from Baltimore this morning. Slept on the floor in the airport late last night and then got up and like went to work. I went to work once I got here.
Crazy.
So I'm a little delirious probably.
Yeah, I definitely was sensing that from you. Some delirium.
I feel like my focus has waxed and waned during this episode.
Man, but as we mentioned earlier in this episode, January is coming up quick.
It sure is.
And a new set.
Exactly. Fate Reforged.
And spoilers season is going to start soon.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of January, tweet at us at MTAcast and help me convince Maria to come to GP Denver.
Megan, you've called me out on the show?
Yeah, man. I really want to go to GP Denver. It's so cheap. It's so cheap. It's so close. We
Denver's
know
a nice city.
It's a nice city.
Can we go on a hike?
Of course we can go on a hike.
Don't lie to me.
I'm not lying.
When are we having hike time?
Monday morning.
How long are we staying there?
The flight leaves Friday after work, and then the flight on Monday leaves kind of like mid-evening.
Hmm.
One day off of work. You're taking one day off of work.
I know, but like, I'm just going to get destroyed. I'm going to...
It doesn't matter.
I want to represent.
We'll practice.
Oh, God.
You guys, tweet at us at MTAcast. Help me get Maria to GP Denver.
Oh, thanks everybody for listening. Like Megan said, follow us on Twitter. Trying to get to 1,000. I want to see your smiling faces over there. You can check out all of our episodes ever magictheamatrine.com, iTunes, mtgcast.com, themeatery.org has a few of our episodes going back, I don't know how far, quite a ways. Or you can go to Stitcher. It's an app. You can download it and listen to podcasts on it. It's fabulous.
You can find us online. I am Ice Cream Socialist.
I'm Horny _ Unicorny. I just did a Modern Masters draft today.
Oh, yeah.
With one of our listeners who tweets at us.
Yeah.
Beardo. So shout out to Beardo.
That's right.
He ripped a Tarmogoyf.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's just sick.
I know.
That's so sick.
I was so jealous.
As you
because
my
be. I'm so excited to play Modern Masters online because I freaking love that format.
Yeah.
And the past two drafts, I have played somebody who had a Tarmogoyf.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like so why much is more it not money? Me? Why is it not me? Just one seat away.
Why?
Woe is me.
It's okay, Maria.
Anyway, I think we've come to the time that we promised.
We did. Here we go, listeners. This is for you.
Oh, my God. This better have lyrics. I don't know these lyrics. Are we just gonna have to make them up?
Yeah.
They're pretty weird, I remember that. Oh, this intro's forever. I was lying on the grass a Sunday morning of last week, indulging in my self-defeat, trying to start the lease of blood that twisted round underneath, uncomfortable at 3 feet deep. But being there, the confused the morning week, impaired my tribal lunar speak. And of course you can't become if you only say what you would have done. So I missed a million miles of fun. I know it's up for me if you steal my sunshine. Making sure I'm not in too deep. If you steal my sunshine, keeping verse and on my feet. If you steal my sunshine.